This is KLCC News. I'm Angela Kellner. Political tensions are high in Salem as the 2014 Oregon legislative session is in its closing days. Joining us now is our Salem correspondent, Chris Lehman. Hi, Chris.
Hi, Angela.
So lawmakers in the Oregon Senate were deeply divided over a bill that would have redirected settlements in class action lawsuits. What is this about? What can you tell us about this battle?
The substance of the bill is that currently when there's a class action lawsuit, a large group of people collectively sue a company. And if the judge rules in the class's favor, then the company has to pay out a settlement. Usually it's to the tune of millions of dollars. Well, under current law, if all of that money isn't claimed by victims of the mistreatment, then that money basically just goes back to the company. If they can't find all of the victims, if the victims don't voluntarily come forward, this bill is an attempt to redirect that money. Instead of going back to the company, then the money would go to a legal aid fund for low-income people in Oregon who can't afford legal services, often in the case of domestic violence cases or property landlord-tenant kind of cases, or it could be criminal cases as well. That was what the heart of this bill was. And it wasn't that the minority party was objecting to legal services for low-income people. They just objected to the way the bill was brought to the floor. They said that it doesn't actually do the things that it's intended to do, that it'll be the subject of legal challenges. So they wanted to vote it down. Well, there's a matchup here between money for the poor people and money for corporations. That's how Democrats were painting this as, and the Republicans accused the Democrats of bringing it to the floor only to force a vote, knowing, and I'm going to give it away here, knowing that it would fail, and then using that vote in political hit pieces during the fall elections. But as I said, the bill did fail, 15-15, because one Democrat, Betsy Johnson of Northwestern Oregon, decided to vote with the Republicans, and the bill failed.
So, Chris, with that bill now out of the picture, what else remains for the legislature to finish up in these final days?
Well, they do have a few bills working their way through the regular process, but what everybody is keeping an eye on right now is some budgetary issues. Now, these aren't budget bills that have to be done during a regular session. They're required to create budgets for state agencies. That's their sole reason to exist. During this short year session, what they're doing is tweaking current budgets. That in and of itself is not controversial. To rebalance a budget to reflect changing needs since they last met. But there are some controversial elements mixed in there, including possibly $200 million of state bond money for OHSU to help build some cancer research labs. That's to help meet a challenge match from Nike's Phil Knight. That has not come forward yet, despite the legislature potentially being in its closing days here.
Chris, what is their deadline to get all of this done?
Their deadline under the state constitution is Sunday night at midnight. That's when they have to be done. The only way they can go past there is a two-thirds affirmative vote from both chambers, which is generally considered highly unlikely, although it's never been tried. So that gives them a few more days now. Now, that being said, Republicans have a conference called the Dorchester Conference on the Oregon coast in Seaside. It's an annual thing. It's been going on for 50 years. I don't specifically know why it was scheduled during potentially the final weekend of the legislative session, but nonetheless, a lot of the Republicans want to go to that. It's kind of an annual tradition, and they've been saying if the legislature's not done Friday afternoon, then they're just going to hit the road and go, which would deny the Democrats a quorum to finish up their business. So everybody's trying to get things done by the middle of the day on Friday. If they don't, then they'll just have to strong-arm the Republicans into staying, or perhaps even come back and finish on Sunday night. Not sure if there'd be a lot of appetite to do that. But no matter which way you slice it, we're looking at the final days here.
And you'll be covering that for us. And so you'll keep us informed of the sine die and the wrap up of the legislative session. So looking forward, next Tuesday is the deadline to file for major party candidates in this year's election. What are some of the key races that you're watching?
One of the biggest races this year will be the governor's race. Incumbent Democrat John Kitzhaber, of course, seeking re-election to what will be his fourth term. His major opponent at this point is Republican state lawmaker Dennis Richardson from Southern Oregon. That being said, there are not going to be major primary opponents for either of those candidates in May. The most interesting primary race right now is for Republicans who want to take on Democrat Jeff Merkley in the U.S. Senate. Merkley, of course, will win his party's renomination for another term, but there are two Republicans in particular, State Representative Jason Conger of Bend and a pediatric neurosurgeon from Portland named Monica Webby. She's never held elected office before, but has been involved politically with various issues over the past decade or so. Both of these candidates say they're the Republicans' best chance to take on and defeat Jeff Merkley in the fall. Merkley, of course, as the incumbent in Oregon and as a Democrat, you'd think he'd be pretty safe for re-election, but this is one of those years where you can't really make those kinds of predictions this far out. So those are the major races. Of course, legislatively speaking, that's when people tend to file at the last minute, people we've never heard of, and then they might, in fact, go on to win in November. So we'll keep an eye out on legislative races, too.
Chris, what about that legislative balance in terms of tipping it, House and Senate, Democrat-Republican control? Do you have any forecasting in terms of what could happen in the legislature, or is it just too early because we don't know everyone who's filed?
It's a little early to predict whether the balance of power will shift. I can tell you that in the Oregon House, Democrats hold a four-seat advantage over Republicans. That is considered generally safe, that it will stay in the hands of Democrats. Whether that margin will get smaller or bigger, of course, remains to be seen. In the Senate, it's much more interesting. Unlike in the House, where every seat comes up for re-election every time, in the Senate, only half of the seats come up. And so it's a little harder to shift things in one election cycle. That being said, Democrats literally hold a one-seat advantage, 16 seats to 14 seats. So if one of those seats would flip, they'd be tied. Democrats want a bigger margin than 16 to 14 because, as we saw with the class action bill that we talked about a little bit earlier, one Democrat voted with the Republicans. That was enough to sink the bill. So if you really want to get your agenda through, and if you're a Democrat, you'd really like a 2-3 or 4 vote margin over the Republicans. The Republicans, on the other hand, and see this as maybe if they work really hard in one or two districts, they'll get that extra seat or two to get them over the hump and take control of the Senate for the first time in more than a decade.
Okay, we'll be keeping an eye on that, and we know you will be informing us of those changes as well. Chris, thank you for your time today.
You're welcome.
Chris Lehman is our KLCC Salem correspondent. I'm Angela Kellner for KLCC News.